Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Joy Dooling, and you are listening to the Joy of Membership podcast. This podcast is for membership leaders. So we talk about strategies for attracting, engaging, and retaining members. But that's not entirely the focus of the show, because let's be honest here, there is no shortage of advice out there on best practices in membership. What we need to talk about is how to actually make those things possible in the real world, how to be absolutely sure that growth practices are going to stick, how to make those things easier, more consistent, and even automatic in some cases. Sound good? Then stick around because we're about to jump into it. Hey there, Joy Dooling here, host of the Joy of Membership podcast. Welcome to this week's episode. Are your members quick to join, ready to engage, and eager to renew? If not, let's see what's going on and how to fix that. The best place to start is with the Member Experience Scorecard. With this one simple tool, you'll be able to see exactly where you have gaps that we should fill and strengths that you can build on. The download is free and you'll have insights in less than 10 minutes. You can download your copy right now at joyofmembership.com/scorecard. Okay, if you're driving, maybe not right now, but when you get back to your desk. With no further ado, let's hop into the show. Did you know that May 7th through 16th is National Public Gardens Week? I didn't until recently, but it sure seems like a good excuse to get out in the great outdoors. This week's podcast guest knew, of course. Joan Lucchese is Executive Director of the Gardens at Heather Farm, a nonprofit organization that operates a free public garden, education center, and special event venue on 6 picturesque acres in Walnut Creek, California. Joan has been supporting nonprofit missions for over 30 years as a volunteer, a board member, and executive director. She says that having a passion for the environment and a lifelong love of gardening makes coming to work each day a pleasure. Joan also believes public gardens play an important role in lifting the spirits of visitors and healing a community. We'll talk about how Joan has worked toward building the gardens membership program in this conversation. Let's hop in. Hey, Joan, welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could be with me here today.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So why don't we start with who you are and who you help?
So my name is Joan Lucchese, and I'm the executive director at the Gardens at Heather Farm in Walnut Creek, California. We're a nonprofit 6.5-acre public garden and education center. The garden itself demonstrates planting and landscape techniques suitable for our Mediterranean climate and serves as inspiration for our community about how to landscape their home gardens. We're open to the public for free. We do not charge admission. And our education programs focus on nature-based classes for adults and children. We have a robust children's program that reaches over 20,000 preschool through fifth grade children each year.
Wow. So what led you personally to be involved in this sort of work?
I have been involved in nonprofit work since my early 20s. I became a mentor in the Big Sister program. And during that experience, it became really obvious to me that the time that I was investing in my little sister was having a really positive impact on her life. And it opened my eyes to the possibility that I could make the world a better place by getting involved in causes that I really believe in. And I've been a volunteer, I've been a board member, I've been board chair, I've been involved in many nonprofit organizations since then. And each one of those experiences I found to be really satisfying and rewarding. And that's why I do the work I do.
Well, as a social worker in my previous life, I mean, that just like that just feeds my soul that experience has come out of that big sister, little sister relationship. And I just think that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. So tell us about the role that membership plays for the Gardens.
It's an important one.
Okay.
Our members are really the lifeblood of our organization because from a development standpoint, our members are a focus of cultivation to become donors. We have three segments of potential members. There's those in our community that don't know us. They're not aware of us. They've never been here. Then there are those that have no transactional relationship with us. They're aware of us. They may come here. They may walk. They visit the garden. They may have been here for a wedding or an event as a guest. So they've been here. They're aware, but they just have not gone that extra step to interact with us directly in some way. And then most importantly are those with a transactional relationship with us. So they volunteer here to manage the garden, or they work in our greenhouse propagating plants, or they buy plants in our plant shop, or they or their children have attended classes. Those with a transactional relationship with us are most likely to become a member. Members receive discounts on classes and plants and things of that nature. So there's some benefit to them for being a member. And we also participate in the American Horticulture Society's reciprocal admission program, which we found our members particularly value that membership benefit. And then once we know what a person's interest is in our organization, we start cultivating that. So plant purchasers are encouraged to subscribe to our plant newsletter. And then we tell them, hey, our education program is got a class coming on how to grow herbs. Wouldn't you love to do that? So we try to find ways to cross-pollinate our members with one thing that they're interested in that we do with something else that we do that they might be interested in. And then we use that to start engaging them and cross-pollinating them with our other programs. And then once they get more engaged, we start cultivating them to become donors. And we let them know how their gifts will support our programming. And about 65% of our members do convert to donors. And then the other 35%, they consider their membership fee to be their donation to our organization. And that's fine. We continue loving them and trying to convert them.
So when we were talking before this interview, you had shared that the past year with the pandemic was obviously a tough year for all organizations, yours included, but that you had seen some positive things come out of the experience. Can you talk about some of those?
So we sit alongside a very large city park that has about 2 million visitors a year. And of those visitors, about 150,000 people make their way into the garden. During COVID, we saw an explosion in the number of people coming into the garden. Our community was really seeking a safe and beautiful place where they could go and walk or sit on a bench and read a book or just be out someplace safe during a time that was so scary and uncertain. And we were really, really pleased to be able to provide that for our community.
That's awesome. In terms of leading the type of membership that you do, has anything been easier or harder than you've expected?
I think the thing that is hardest is the ability to be consistent in the amount of time that I'm able to devote to membership. I wear a lot of hats in this little nonprofit, just like a lot of small nonprofits. I'm the development manager. I'm the volunteer manager. I'm the HR manager. I have a lot of things to do. And for a membership program to be successful, I've learned you have to be consistent. So one of the things I've had to do is be very disciplined about the amount of time I spend managing membership. I set aside a specific number of hours on the specific day each week that I do nothing else other than work on membership. And that does take some discipline. I don't look at email. I don't look at phone. I just stay focused on that. And I have learned to use our database to automate as much of that work as possible, automatically generating renewal reminders and membership cards and acknowledgement letters as those things are necessary. So I can stay focused on watching the segments of our members and looking at who I might be able to move up in membership level, just like in fundraising, the donor funnel. I do the same with membership. And it's strategizing about how to make that happen. That's been challenging and something I'm still working on. But it's fun when I start seeing success for that kind of focus.
Absolutely. So you probably don't know this, but the C in Journey Care intentionally stands for consistent. It was the very first word when I was creating the Journey Care model and building out the platform. The very first word that I felt was important was consistent. So awesome. What advice would you give to another organization around building their members, engaging their members?
Well, I've done two things recently that have proven to be successful. I will tell you that the most successful thing we do around developing new members is in-person solicitation. And I know that that's not possible for a lot of nonprofits to interface with the people they serve. For us, it's going out into the garden and introducing ourselves to the people that are out there. So once a quarter, I have a couple of my board members join me, and we go out into the garden for a couple of hours with brochures and membership forms. And we tell them who we are and what we do. And most of them are shocked to find out that the garden's managed by a nonprofit. Most of them just assume it's managed by the city. So once we have that discussion with them and just tell them how important their support is, it's been very effective to be able to have that in-person conversation with the people who are actually there using the space. And then the second thing that I've done that has become successful is about a year and a half ago, I purchased a mail list from a mail house. And for your listeners, these mail houses are all over the United States, so they're fairly easy to access. And what I asked them for was a mailing list of new movers into the community, people that were coming from over 35 miles outside our community. And I asked them to scrub the list of anyone who was refinancing their home, because sometimes that will find its way onto these lists. And they sent me these lists each month, and I would send out a postcard to these new movers saying, hey, you're new to the community, welcome, come visit us, come walk in the garden, come buy a plant. Are you landscaping your new home? We will help you with that. So we sent those out, and then COVID happened. And that was a problem because we had to completely shut down our facilities, our greenhouse, even the garden had to be closed through the end of July. So that just went quiet for a while. But we've had now two in-person plant sales. We've been allowed to do that with social distancing and masking. And to our surprise, a number of these postcards showed up. The postcard gave the people we sent them to a 10% discount on plant purchases. So when we had these plant sales, the postcards started showing up. So that was a pleasant surprise. And we now have a new transactional relationship. So we can develop these new people potentially to come back and become members.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome that you've given them a way to discover you, and then you can get them in your pipeline to nurture them into that member relationship. Right. Where can people connect to learn more about the work that you're doing?
Our website, and I believe that you post a link on the podcast to our website. It's, you know, gardens are very visual places, so we have lots of nice pictures to enjoy. And then on Instagram, which is also a very visual way to interact with someone. And then, of course, Facebook. And we use Facebook to post a lot of information about our education programs and events and things that are going here on a regular basis. So we would love to have you follow us.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, your experience as a membership builder. I think that there are going to be a number of things that you talked about today that people are really going to be able to relate to.
I hope so. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Joy here, back with a few thoughts about this week's episode. You know, one of the things that Joan mentioned during the interview is how she works to help prospects discover the membership. However, if you listen closely, you'll note that it wasn't quite a direct connection. Instead, you might say that she created a pretty little path to it, which is a rather perfect analogy to use when we're talking about a public garden, isn't it? Sometimes, when you're trying to get people to discover your membership, it might be better not to have that be the lead thing that you share with them. Instead, find a related problem or interest, bring them in with that, and then create a pretty little path that leads to the membership. For Joan, the solution is getting people into the gardens for recreation or for a class or maybe through a plant sale or a special event. There might be another little step of getting into their inbox through some sort of email subscription. And at some point, while someone is visiting and experiencing the wonder that is the gardens, they could be potentially approached in person about membership. Then also, membership might be a step on the path to becoming a donor. Throughout our interview, Joan sprinkles words like cultivation and cross-pollination as she's speaking. I'm not sure that this was intentional, but those gardening phrases are perfect for describing what it takes to get a membership to grow. Do you create discovery paths for your membership? I'd love to hear what you do and how it's working for you. Please drop a line and let me know. Now, before I close out this episode completely, I have a question for you. Do you think you would be an amazing journey care guide? Are you passionate about providing exceptional member care? Would you love to elevate your own organization's ability to serve members? Or perhaps you are a consultant or service provider who would benefit from getting your clients up and running with an amazing member care platform. I'm currently looking for the first cohort of Journey Care Guides. Journey Care Guides will be deeply trained on the Journey Care platform so that they can serve as a resource as we expand the number of organizations that are adopting the software. While there is no charge to participate in the Journey Care Guide training, there will be a time commitment involved and eligibility requirements that must be met. If this sounds like something you'd potentially be interested in, please connect with me. The cohort will be launching soon. And if you know of someone who might be a good fit, please feel free to pass this message along. So that's all for this week's episode. I will see you back here, same time, same place next week. And in the meantime, take care. Hey there, you made it all the way to the end. Bravo to you. I'm back in just one last time to remind you that there's a free one-page PDF available over at the website that shows you more than 20 ways that technology could be supporting your efforts to attract, engage, and retain more members. It's actually broken down into the stages of the member journey, so you'll know exactly where each piece fits. And everything that's on that one pager can actually be automatically done for you with software that costs less than $1,000 per year. So if you haven't already grabbed it, you can get your copy at joyofmembership.com/tech. joyofmembership.com/tech, TECH. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.